In a world of shifting alliances and precarious peace, Henry Kissinger's examination of six extraordinary leaders offers profound insights into the nature of transformative leadership. These figures, Konrad Adenauer, Charles de Gaulle, Richard Nixon, Anwar Sadat, Lee Kuan Yew, and Margaret Thatcher, all inherited societies shattered by what Kissinger calls the Second 30 Years' War, 1914 to 1945. Each faced the monumental task of rebuilding nations from catastrophe, making difficult choices with incomplete information while balancing their society's values against harsh realities. What distinguishes these remarkable individuals is their ability to read both immediate crises and broader historical contexts, understanding how present actions would echo through time. They operated at that critical intersection where past meets future, where institutions lose relevance and the path forward becomes contested, precisely when true leadership emerges most clearly. Leadership divides into two fundamental approaches: the statesman and the prophet. The statesman preserves society by manipulating circumstances rather than being overwhelmed by them, embracing necessary change while maintaining their society's essential identity. The prophet, conversely, invokes transcendent visions and seeks to erase the past entirely. The most successful leaders combine elements of both, knowing when to preserve and when to transform. Unlike scientists who can verify results through repeated experiments, strategic leaders typically get only one chance to make decisions that are often irrevocable. This requires what philosopher Isaiah Berlin called wisdom, the perception of unique flavors of each situation as it is, those aspects that make it insusceptible to scientific treatment. Imagine standing at a crossroads where every path contains both promise and peril. This is the leader's constant position, requiring both analytical brilliance and intuitive understanding of human nature. When Konrad Adenauer became chancellor in 1949, Germany had reached its nadir, a disintegrated state under foreign occupation with widespread starvation, worthless currency, and nearly a quarter of its territory lost. His response? A strategy of humility built on four carefully calculated elements: accepting defeat's consequences without reservation, methodically regaining the victor's confidence, building genuine democracy, and creating a European federation that would transcend historic divisions. Rather than demanding immediate equality, Adenauer insisted that temporary inequality was the precondition for eventual equality, a position that drew fierce criticism from German nationalists but earned respect from Allied powers. His reconciliation with France became the cornerstone of European integration, transforming Germany from pariah state to trusted partner within 14 years. De Gaulle's extraordinary career began with his audacious BBC broadcast on June 18, 1940, France's lowest-ranking general brazenly declaring himself the voice of resistance when the official government had surrendered. Starting with just 7,000 fighters, he conducted himself as if free France were reality rather than aspiration, meticulously building diplomatic relationships and administrative structures while maintaining a careful balance between internal resistance groups and his external organization. His seemingly difficult personality masked a calculated strategy to establish France's independence and equality with its allies. After the war, he brilliantly reconstructed a legitimate French state by portraying Vichy as merely an erroneous interregnum, a myth of continuity that helped salvage France's self-respect. De Gaulle understood something profound. National identity requires both historical truth and sustaining myths. When Nixon took office in 1969, America faced multiple crises: the Vietnam War, campus protests, and the Soviet Union's approach to nuclear parity fundamentally altering the strategic calculus. Nixon revolutionized American foreign policy through his concept of linkage, rejecting the previous tendency to compartmentalize diplomatic issues. His opening to China stands as his most significant achievement, dramatically reshaping the global strategic landscape. Rather than focusing on technical issues during his historic Beijing visit, Nixon emphasized geopolitical alignment against Soviet expansion, creating what he termed a structure of peace. For 20 years following, the U.S. and China conducted collaborative policy to contain Soviet power. Nixon had presciently anticipated China's potential to become an economic force in the world of enormous potential, a prediction now fully realized. His policy of equilibrium reminds us that in international relations, absolute victory is rarely possible. Instead, sustainable peace requires carefully balanced power relationships that acknowledge all parties' core interests. Unlike his predecessor Nasser, who saw Egypt at the center of Arab, Islamic, and African circles, Anwar Sadat felt the pull of the Mediterranean and desired Egypt's integration into the global system. After exploratory conversations with the U.S. confirmed American willingness to engage, but also its limits, Sadat decided war was necessary to improve his negotiating position. The October 1973 offensive initially succeeded brilliantly, and though the military tide eventually turned, Sadat claimed a psychological victory. The wounded nation has restored its honor. His boldest move came in November 1977, when his plane landed in Israel to global astonishment. Addressing the Knesset in classical Arabic, he abandoned decades of enmity, declaring he hadn't come for a partial peace, but to build a durable peace based on justice. Though assassinated by extremists in 1981, Sadat's vision stands vindicated through multiple subsequent peace agreements. Unlike other leaders who guided established nations, Lee Kuan Yew faced creating a country that had never existed independently. When Singapore gained independence in 1965, it had crippling disadvantages: tiny territory, lack of natural resources, including sufficient drinking water, a small population divided among Chinese, Malay, and Indian ethnic groups, and powerful neighboring states envious of its strategic location. Lee transformed this malarial island into Asia's wealthiest country per capita within a generation through relentless pursuit of excellence. "We're not a natural country, but man-made," he reminded his people, demanding excellence across all sectors with zero tolerance for mediocrity or corruption. His housing program transformed Singapore into a society of homeowners, giving families a stake in the nation's future. His innovative language policy addressed a multilingual population by implementing bilingual education, requiring English language schools to teach Mandarin, Malay, and Tamil, while mandating English classes in all other schools. These six leaders shared remarkable qualities despite their diverse backgrounds. None came from upper-class origins. Adenauer's father was a clerk, de Gaulle's a teacher, Nixon had a lower middle-class upbringing, Sadat was a clerk's son, Lee relied on scholarships, and Thatcher was a grocer's daughter. Their humble beginnings allowed them to defy conventional political categories and articulate national interests with unusual clarity. All communicated directly, never relying on focus-grouped rhetoric, but speaking plainly about difficult realities. They possessed both penetrating insight into current conditions and powerful vision for future possibilities. In our fractured present, where civic patriotism has been replaced by identity-based factionalism and competing cosmopolitanisms, where education excels at producing activists and technicians but neglects forming citizens and statesmen, these leaders offer crucial lessons. They remind us that leadership isn't about perfection. It's about making difficult choices in uncertain circumstances with moral courage and strategic vision. As Epictetus wrote, "We cannot choose our external circumstances, but we can always choose how we respond to them." True leadership means guiding that choice and inspiring others to join in its execution. In a world crying out for visionary yet pragmatic leadership, these six remarkable figures show us what's possible when intelligence, courage, and character converge in service to a larger purpose.